Jamie, are you ready for some furious podcasting?
Yes, I'm ready for some furious podcasting.
Trash House Street.
Bella!
Bella, I like that. I took 5 milligrams of heroin in the toes, and this is and cocaine because I like cocaine. We'll talk about that later.
Later, Jamie Z.
Lou S.
What's up?
Nothing. I did a much more prologue version of the tribute to Poor Things, but I didn't have the audio set up.
I know.
So
we're gonna do some furious recording.
Furious recording, I'm like.
Furious jumping.
We'll talk about it.
I have the softest thighs. This one's softest.
When she's like, oh, it makes me so sad. Do you at least use your hand to bring yourself happiness? It's like, oh, that makes me feel joy.
Here, let me feel you. Make all right. Me happy.
All right, we're going to talk about that later.
Yes.
You got a
shit ton to get through.
Yeah. So, it's been a long time since we've talked. Yeah. Longer since we've recorded.
Probably, over a month.
Yeah. So,
what's new in the month we have not recorded? It is St. Paddy's Day Eve.
Yeah, and by the time you hear this, it'll probably be April Fool's.
Probably.
So I'm wearing a banana for a mustache.
Have you talked about Italy the second time?
So that's the thing. So the big thing was I had to go to Italy. I went there, and there's not much to tell other than, is it Italy for business? And when you usually tell people you're going to Italy for business, they don't really emphasize that the key word in that sentence business. Is business and not Italy. So
was it furious jumping?
There's a lot of furious jumping. No, I went to the quaint little town of Monza outside of Milan, and it's actually a very beautiful town. I think it's the big thing there is like. Either Grand Prix or one of the big European car races happens around there. So there are a couple times a year when the town just fills up.
Cool.
But it was really cool. It's this late Renaissance-like town, wandering through the cobblestone streets and seeing stuff. But mostly it was working and...
And eating.
Not really.
Nuggets.
Yeah, so yeah, that was the thing. So one, it's always difficult for me to... So I have a rare medical condition called nervous baby kitten belly. That's why I tell people, yes, which means my little baby kitten, I don't want to crush it by eating food. Usually this is food that is fun, but the big thing is I really can't eat after a certain time or I get massive reflux, which in one of the things I did since we've been is I marathoned Modern Family. And one of the later seasons, there is a joke when... Luke, the young kid of the one family, he's dating an older woman. And he's like, we're going to dinner at 6 because my girlfriend gets reflux if she eats past 7. So for the most part, it was, and this is kind of how I eat when I travel abroad anyway. Big breakfast, small dinner. Because I have
breakfast
the sugar.
Is big. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dinner is small. No.
That sounds familiar. What's that from?
Honeycomb big.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're not small.
Wow. It's like some sort of Skinner box every time I travel, especially on a work trip, trying to find stuff to eat. I actually brought power bars.
Good.
And 5 milligrams of heroin.
There is no
And
heroin.
Cocaine, because I like cocaine. As I told you, the last night I was there, I had a really long day. Doing what I was there to do. And then, because people in the United States don't particularly care that you've already worked an 8-hour day, I had to work basically another 6 hours when I got back. And I had a 30-minute window to get some sort of sustenance. So I'm in Italy, a country noted for its fine cuisine and food and whatnot. And
did you find a quaint Scottish restaurant?
I went to McDonald's. So yeah, I actually had just enough time to run to a McDonald's that was 4 doors down. I go up to the counter. The woman there literally looks at me and leaves and then immediately pulls the youngest person you can find because presumably I just screamed American. I was wearing like a 10-gallon hat and had my 6 shooters. So she must have got it. But it was actually kind of funny that she clocked me that quick and just pulled the one probably the one person in that building who spoke English.
Yeah.
Now, I will say an Italian McDonald's is so much fucking nicer than an American sure. warehouse. They have a McCafe. It is more beautiful than when we used to go and get coffee out.
Mm-hmm.
When we were young and exciting. Nicer than any place we ever got coffee at.
Yeah, that's cool.
I got the chicken McNuggets.
Mm-hmm.
And the European chicken McNuggets taste different. They're better. They're fancier somehow.
Mm-hmm. Probably no gluten in that shit.
Probably.
Yeah, my guess.
Or no ammonia or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
an asshole Jamie Oliver said they put in, and then it was a big lie.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, the next day, I'm flying out, and as we near Newark Airport, my tummy gets a little rumbly.
You shit out a kitten.
I ended up doing that. Like, I committed a war crime. So, Just need to make it off the plane. Just got to keep the cheeks shut. The gate to
melted.
The is as far away from the bathroom as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is, so again, international, you land at your gate, you have to go, and you basically go to passport control. There's a bathroom right before there. No one uses that bathroom because everyone wants to get through the passport line as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So I had a nice clean bathroom to commit atrocities. Then got back. The next day I dropped my AirPod buds.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was, I thought, lost forever. So I ended up buying another pair of AirPods and then immediately found the pod that was missing.
So now I have new AirPods.
So I gave them to Jamie.
I never had AirPods before.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah, they are nice.
Then
I had to figure out how to use them because I'm old. I was like, I don't know how to use these.
It was. So I had them and I didn't use them for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when I was doing all the wall shit and I had the fans running.
Yeah.
I was like, well, maybe I'll just like listen to music and I'll drown it out. And that was my first experience with noise-canceling technology. Because it killed the fan noise, but I could hear the TV.
Mm.
And I was like, what is this miracle?
Whoa, man.
It's like when Geddy Lee finds the guitar in 2112.
Yeah.
So that all happened, and I'm like, I need just 1 week when everything goes good. Then the next day, my internet inexplicably dies. And my internet is out for a week, which is another reason why it was late, delayed, and doing podcast shit. And I call. The first person just tells me, oh, there's a local outage. You'll be fine. I'm like, okay, there's no local outage reported.
Yeah.
But that's good. It makes me feel good because that means it'll come back soon.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours later, I'm on the call again. The guy on the phone takes me through all this shit and then also is like, oh, that other person probably just lied to you because they were going off shift and they didn't want to deal with it.
Probably.
So that didn't work. Had a guy come out. Replaced the box. Seemed like it worked for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Then stopped working. So I had to have a second guy come over who fixed the problem in 3 minutes, but then spent the next 30 complaining about the third guy. First guy. And I'm like, yeah, I need to go.
Somewhere. Like, I haven't watched porn in 5 days.
No, fuck you. And I got contingencies. What am I, amateur? Somewhere in there, I went out to lunch with some friends.
Is it Funch?
No. So I went out to lunch with friends and
were they kitty friends? Was you sitting around the table drinking fake
tea? They're
human
friends. This is going somewhere.
Were you like, hello, Mr. Pretty Pants and Fluffle Fluffle?
Yes, exactly.
And then you're like, oh, would you like a piece of butter pie?
What the fuck, butter pie?
Oh, would you like some butter pie?
Butter pie sounds like something hobos eat. Like five of them just around a single stick of butter. So this is sort of amusing. So I had just finished the first Twilight book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was giving my view on it to my two friends.
Mm-hmm.
The bartender was listening.
Mm-hmm.
I look over. I was like, oh, we're talking about the book Twilight. And the laugh she gave was such a tension-relieving laugh. I'm like, this woman was about 3 minutes away from calling the cops because she thought we were planning an abduction. Again, it was amazing. I was like, ooh, I'm going to sectify
the register. We had to eat our butter pie somewhere else.
We had to eat our butter pie. Yeah, exactly.
Here's your napkin.
You think it's like a napkin you just stick in your shirt?
I just picture you're on a table way too small, and it's just little kitties that you have little kill chains on.
I wish. That's so sad.
So they can't run away.
You're like fucking disturbed.
You're having those, you make them drink fake tea. You're like, Mrs. Fuzzy Pants, you haven't finished your tea.
That's exactly.
Poison.
What's wrong? Is it? You. Wow. So, what's up with you?
I went on vacation too.
Yeah, that's right.
I went to Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah.
It was me, Victor, my sister, and her oldest daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on a plane since pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And I was going to Florida that time as well. But it was awesome. We went to a game and the stadium, we went to a Phillies game.
Mm-hmm.
Stadium only holds like 10,000.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was the coolest stadium. There's like fucking palm trees. You could smoke in the stadium.
Oh, wow.
Which was just bizarre. It's all the, imagine all these old people like, their fucking Terry Tin 100s. Mm-hmm. It is designed to just get you drunk. They're selling like buckets of beer. Like it's just a bucket of a six pack. I got this bat that held two beers.
Oh, wow.
I didn't see those pictures.
I didn't realize that's what it was.
Yeah, it held two beers in it. I got pretty buzzed, and then I went home and took a nap. But it was really good, fun time.
You flew home to Pennsylvania, took a nap.
Yes, I did. Back.
Wow.
The next day, we went to this aquarium. It was more of like a rescue center, and like it was kind of cool. They had like sharks and dolphins and whatnot there. And then we spent the rest of the day on the beach. I've never been to the Gulf of Mexico, so it was really different. I peed in the Gulf of Mexico twice.
Ew, people drink that water.
The good. They can drink a piece of meat.
Yeah.
But it was weird because there's no, like, tide, really. There's no, like sucking you out and stuff. Uh-huh. It was very pleasant. You can see your feet. They're, like, white sandy beaches. Yeah. It was cool. I ended up getting a little burnt, but I got a tan. Mm-hmm. And then before we knew it, we were whoosh back in Pennsylvania. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it down there. I kind of fell in love with Florida a little bit. Uh-oh. Like the beaches.
That's how they get, yeah.
I think I want to go next year.
I think those my old doctor used to go for spring training every year.
Yeah, it's really pretty down there.
I think that story with like those stadiums. I know like the Devil Ray Stadium, all that shit. Because it gets so hot in the summer, it's like they do anything to pull you in to attract you because there's a certain point where attendance just dies.
Oh, I'm sure. Like they had misting stations, and this is like, you know, fucking beginning of March. So
yeah, I had someone I work with who lives down there went to visit family and was like, yeah, it's going to be 80 and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it is beautiful down there. Just, I can't imagine the summer. It's just, it's nice like when it's cold here. I get some people flock to Florida.
Yeah, that's why I like so many old people because you got that weak blood.
Mm-hmm. The weak blood.
Weak blood, not like sweet blood.
Not sweet blood.
The sequel.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was really the newest thing other than just working and drama at work. But
Well,
and I got Employee of the Month at my job.
Yeah, I saw, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I paid off enough people to vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
I got a gift card.
Yeah.
And I better be in the newsletter. They haven't interviewed me yet, so I have a feeling.
Is it one of those where they'll be like, what are three things you can...
Well, so they were like wondering what gift card to get me, and everyone's like, well, she really likes beer, but it's inappropriate to get her beer.
That's pretty bad, yeah.
And they're like, she likes to run, so they're going to get me like something, like a sporting good, but end up being a Wawa gift card, which I use anyway.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we have a newsletter at work that I know I'll never get interviewed for, but it'll be, I always imagine me answering the questions, because it's the stuff like, what's your favorite dish? Who would you have... What person living or dead would you have dinner with?
Well, they didn't say anything to me yet, but I've been telling... I'll be like, well, I'm the employee of the month. I'm such a dick.
Oh,
it's kind of funny. Everyone laughs. They go, ha, ha, ha.
So...
My friend Nicole was like, speech, when I got it. I was like, I would like to thank... No. Nicole's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really about it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Question.
All right.
I know the answer is going to be. And I'm already disappointed.
I'm married.
You finished the Britney Spears book?
I did.
Oh, all right.
I am on, I finished the Britney Spears book, finished the Travis Barker book, and I'm on another book.
Oh, what's your other book?
It's called Fantasyland? Fantastic Land? I started it before. I think I talked about it.
Oh.
An amusement park where a hurricane hits and it's like Lord of the Flies. It's not Joe Hill, but it's like a horror book.
Yeah.
Like all these. I'm like 100 pages in. It's been pretty good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I just read or reread
all these kids killing each other and shit.
Mm. I'm looking. So I was cleaning out my upstairs. I read about Unofficial X-Files Companion.
Yeah.
Which came out. So this Unofficial X-Files Companion clearly was, we don't have any merchandise, we need to write something.
Yeah.
So it's the first two seasons, but it's not really
even... I have it.
I'm sure everyone had it because it might have been the only thing you could buy. It'll list like a name of an episode. It has nothing on like the episode. It'll... Anansi, fingerprint figure very closely. It'll be like a essay on fingerprints. And that's the book, and it's a pretty thick book. And we really were fucking desperate back then.
Yeah, I lent that Brittany book to Nicole.
That's so fine. Yeah. I thought you were going to say no, and I was going to make fun of you because it's almost a
coloring book. No, I've been reading a lot more. Yeah. I didn't drink for like a week, so I haven't been drinking as much.
Not good.
Had to get the blood work done.
Yeah, well, you had to juke the system.
Which ended up being fine. Yeah.
So,
pitter-patter, let's get at
it. I was going to say, the good thing is, now that we're back, we can have all our friends
all our of the show. Friends of the show. Which, all came out with, other than Angel Olsen, came out with pretty much albums.
I mean, it was insane, like, between that and the number of pre-orders, most of which happened on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is, like, I think, I guess all bands that we like.
Yeah, that we've reviewed before. Yeah. I'm not going to give the greatest reviews because we just have a lot to get through and give good reviews anyway.
Yeah, so
do you want to want me to go first? Sure. I probably have more than you.
Yeah.
Because I did three.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Chelsea Wolfe,
which I did not get a chance to listen to.
You didn't listen to, okay. So, She Reaches Out to She came out in February. Mm. Loma Prieta, it's actually her seventh album.
Oh, wow.
Her last album was Birth of Violence, and that was more like, I don't want to say goth folk. Like, I remember liking it, but it wasn't something I repeatedly listened to.
And then did she do not a split, but
she was with, she did, with Converge.
Yeah.
She did an album with Blood Moon, I think, or something like that. She also was guest featured in the Last Ceremony album. And she has been sober since 2021.
Oh.
And I'd like you to listen to this album when you get a chance.
Oh, well.
There's just so much shit coming out. I would say this, compared to the last album, Birth of Violence, that was more, it was very minimalistic goth folk. I like that.
Yeah.
Where this is more instrumental with industrial fills, electric guitars, these creepy synth beats.
Mm-hmm.
Every nook and cranny is filled with sound.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, a departure from her last album. So, I've reviewed, I think, a couple of the singles. Whisper in the Echo Chamber, that was the single. This song, I love how it twists and turns. There's this explosion of a guitar at the end, electric guitar. And Chelsea's vocals are the standout. Instrument, as always. Almost spilled my beer.
Yeah.
House itself, more drum and bass with electro beats weaved in, her voice, her vocals are, a pretty cool, I almost say that there's, these vulnerable intonations in her vocals, which you sometimes get in, prior albums, but not recently. Really cool song. I like drum and bass electro type of shit. Everything turns blue. This almost reminded me of a gothy Angel Olsen feel, New Love cassette that immediately popped in my head. And that's just in the beginning of it. Really cool song. I'm not gonna go through everything. Tunnel Lights, big buildup, has a big Portishead feel. That's what originally turned me on to Chelsea Wolfe. It had this very big Portishead feel to it. The Liminal, love this. It's just a depressing, morose song.
Yeah.
Almost reminded me a Tori Amos with Trent Reznor feel to it.
Yeah.
Dusk is the last song. It's this obsessive, vulnerable, painful, kind of leave on a high note.
Yeah.
I really like this album. I feel like she found her lane and she's thriving, but if thriving is pain and sadness.
Yeah, well.
She openly stated this album is about healing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I went and listened to it again while reading the lyrics, and it had a whole different feel to it. Because sometimes you could put it on, I put it on when I was making dinner last week, and it was almost ambient sounds in the back. And then you read the lyrics, I'm like, wow, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot underlying meanings and stuff like that. But anyway, awesome album. Chelsea Wolfe rocks. I think you should listen to this album. Yeah. I think you'll really like it. Mm-hmm. It kind of puts her in a new direction, and I like where it's going. Not super new direction, whoa, I didn't expect her to do dream pop, but good shit.
Nice. Yeah, I do want to listen to it because I do like Chelsea Wolfe.
Yeah, she's good people. Good people. Seven albums, though. Crazy.
Yeah.
She just turned 40, I think.
Oh, wow. That's nuts.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll talk about Mary Timony.
Yes.
This is called Mary Timony and Five Songs. Because I did five, so I'm going to talk specifically about five songs off the album.
Okay, cool.
This album is Untame the Tiger. It came out February 23rd on Merge Records.
Yes.
It's her fifth solo album. And the first solo album from her in, depending on the source, 15 to 19 years.
Really?
Yeah. But it's also misleading because she records, like, constantly with everybody.
Yeah.
And even then, like, we did an album of hers. It was
not that under long
XX.
Ago. Yeah. It's like a couple, 2-3 years ago, I thought. I thought it was, like, pandemic time.
Yeah, it's pandemic time. I guess she did with XX. So in and of itself, I don't quite know what the difference is. Maybe she has more singular, like, she's more of a singular voice in her own stuff. But she's such a singular voice anyway, it's hard to tell. And people who work with her say that she's like, she's someone who knows what she wants, but she's also capable of working.
Cool.
People. So the last 4 years have been rough for MT, we call her. She broke up with her boyfriend of 12 years. And she's like, by her own admission, is like 90% of the album is about this.
Okay.
Now, you know who the boyfriend is?
No.
It's me. You're right.
Oh, shit.
So we broke
up.
The,
you're the Untamed the Tiger guy.
Yeah, so it's all about me, which is fucked up. Right when that happened, her father was diagnosed with cancer. Oh. Then her father had surgery. And then her father apparently had frontal lobe dementia and descended really quickly. Then her mother got cancer. And then they both died. Her father died right when she started recording this album.
Jesus.
Her mother died right as she was finishing.
That's
so... This album's a lot about self-reflection. I can empathize with certain things she talks about, given my own midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
She does have two kitty cats.
Oh, okay, cool. Me
she
too.
She doesn't make them have butter cakes or whatever the fuck.
Like you do when you chain them. They have to gnaw off their own paws to get
them. Why would I chain them? I would give them kisses.
Oh, you do. Butter pie.
That's like just so weird. 5 songs.
Okay. So I did listen to this twice.
All right. So the first song is No Thirds. The opener, it's very melancholy. You have this very bluesy guitar. It's kind of like paints a very desolate landscape, but it's somewhat hopeful.
It's about a long song too.
Very long. It's like almost 6 minutes. Very crisp. It's about moving on. Very Rolling Stonesy at times. I think her guitar work.
So this is what this whole album reminds me of. Very Tom Petty, actually.
Yeah, Tom Petty.
Yeah.
At times, a little bit of Liz Phair.
I can see that.
But actually, Tom Petty is really good. Like, Mary Timony is really known for using like atypical tunings and like droney, very inventive layer guitar. She has this. I've talked about this before, and it's hard to describe. It's a lyrical affectation where it sounds like she's... Like in another artist, you'd be like, you're shoehorning in too many words into this phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But she makes it work. You know, Third has some doo-doo, is it cruel? Is it... I can't think of anything. She'll add like 5 more words, like, and it just works.
Mm-hmm.
So, No Third, and that's what hooked me.
Untamed the Tiger hooked me.
Untamed the Tiger. That's one of my favorite songs.
Yep.
Dominoes. Is like a really good 90s pop song that ends like with this, again, a Rolling Stone riff.
Yeah.
Dominoes almost sounds like she's making it up on the spot and playing along like an instructor from a summer camp in a musical. Like she's like, all right, kids, do, 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 and they're all singing.
Yeah.
Like good old Jamaica Scott. Dead issue when that end. The Guest is her country song.
Mm-hmm.
The Guest is Loneliness. It's also her Steve Malkmus song. I think he would be a contemporary of hers, but a lot of the stuff on this sounds like him, where he's very freestyling his vocals. What do you call it? When you're just speaking.
Spoken word kind of ass.
Like spoken word-ish, but when you're sort of just like, you're like sort of brainstorming like out loud. Singing.
Stream of consciousness.
Yes. They're almost like stream of consciousness lyrics, and then just playing the guitar like can follow up. But really good, yeah. The Guest, country song, Loneliness. Untamed the Tiger has this really... really long, really folk opening. Like, I really liked it, but I'm like, this is going on a while.
Yeah, I was like, is this the same song?
The first time I heard it, I was like, is this an instrumental? And then, yeah, then when it takes it, it shifts gears.
Yeah.
It's about catharsis. It's the line, what did it get for loving you? Nothing but pain.
Nothing but pain. That's where I was just like, I love this song.
And I talk about...
It is a really good song. That's where it, like, hooked me.
Like, for song structure, because I talk about album structure as a thing. This is the quintessential thesis song because it's literally everything the album's about.
Mm-hmm.
Then the final like song on the album.
That's really, I love the first, last 2 songs are my favorite on the album.
Not the only one, which in my words, there's some sort of fluty hobbit shit going on in the beginning.
I look like hobo first. I'm like, reading your notes. I was like, yeah, something hobo.
Eating the butter pie. The big rock candy mountain. You know that song?
No.
It's the first song in Oh Brother Where Art Thou?
I'm sure that I do. I can't think of it off
the top. So there's this song called The Big Rock Candy Mountain. Mm-hmm. The butter plant. It's about... No, but so, but it's... It would feature very heavily in that. How about the Big Rock Candy Mountain? It's this paradise for hobos. And there's this hot soup, rivers, and all this shit. And it's an older hobo singing it to a younger hobo. Mm-hmm. Now, apparently, the last verse is never played in modern days because it's very clear that it's the older hobo just wants to fuck the younger hobo. And he's trying to lure him. Anyway, Butter Pie. Not the only one's really good. Yeah, it's really good. It's like very, brings the whole album together. We have to end it on kind of a positive note, and then we all suffer, but we're all kind of suffering together. And I'm like, yeah, Mary Timoney.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Really good album.
I as I said, I listened to it twice.
Yes. So
that's kind of amazing for me. Mm. I was listening to a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Piss Jeans. Did you listen to Piss Jeans? You didn't listen to anything.
I forgot.
So Piss Jeans, Half Divorced, came out this month, March, on Sub Pop. Mm-hmm. From Allentown, PA. Noise, post-punk, punk. This is their sixth album. They've been a band for 20 years, which is crazy. Yeah. Their last album I reviewed, it was the last in 2017, yeah. Why Love Now. And Lydia Lunch was like one of the producers, was the producer on that. So anyway, this is a very different album. It's very 80s hardcore with... Yeah. Piss Jeans scuzz punk. I saw someone like said that they were scuzz punk, and I'm like, that makes sense. Like, I totally get that. So it starts off with Killing All the Wrong People. Pretty much a noise rock song coming right at you. You haven't missed a beat. They have their offset tuned down guitars, fast as fuck drums. Like, this is when you're like, okay, this is Piss Jeans right here. Anti Sapio, a sweet, straight up sing song street punk song. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. It's very like fun and catchy, like sing song lyric. Choruses and stuff. I was like, oh shit, this is kind of interesting. Piss Jeans always has like 2-3 bangers and then it's just weird. And then they're just like noisy weirdness in my opinion.
Yeah.
This is more like not as much weirdness. Helicopter Parent, more like a Stooges feel, like a proto-punk swagger to it. Tongue kisses you and it tastes like whiskey.
Yeah.
This song. Cling to a Poison Dream, really awesome. Straight up just fun garage punk. $62,000 in debt, catchy garage, like rock and roll riffs. Social commentary on money, obviously, but pretty cool. Everywhere is Bad, funny as shit. They're like tuned down, fuzzed out guitars, and it's just like Philadelphia. And they like make fun of every fucking city. Like just like they just complain about everybody. Mm-hmm. It's pretty funny. Yeah. Junk Time, Piss Jeans being Piss Jeans, like more like scuzz rock. I dig it. Monsters is also on it, which I didn't realize. Mark was like, that's a Pink Lincoln's cover. I was like, oh, cool. Seatbelt, Alarm, Silencer, straight up hardcore punk. They actually have like female vocals in the background, a little different. Stolen Catalytic Converter, fuzzy lo-fi, just like plotting Piss Jeans. And then Moving On was one of their singles. Not my favorite song at all, just straight and just noisy rock and roll. I love it. I like that it's more like just straightforward garage punk with noise, a very 80s hardcore inspiration with their quirky, noisy ways. I dig it. I think it's like 30 minutes. It's worth a listen if you enjoy Piss Jeans. Yeah. I would almost be like, hey, if this was the first album I listened to, I'd be like, this band's great. And then I'd be like, what is this other stuff?
Yeah.
But yeah, really, really good shit.
Yeah.
I digs it.
So, do you want to go again? Then we'll do Manic and Pussy. And then I'll clean up with singles.
Yeah. Disexual?
Yes.
I listened to that too. That's like a quick.
Yeah. It's probably the most music we've done in a while.
Yeah. Long, long, long. You know who came out of album this Friday?
It'd be funny if I said no because I just said Gouge Away.
Gouge Away, friends of the show. I got it early. I got the record early, but I really didn't listen till Friday. Mm-hmm. And so Gouge Away, third album, Deep Sage off Death Wish, just came out March 15th. This is their third, as I said, third full length. They had a few EPs. Pretty much this album came from demos they made in 2019. Mm-hmm. They finished it up in 2022. I know, like, Christina Michelle said she was, like, going through really bad depression and she was, like, not in a good place where a lot of these songs come from. And honestly, like, if you listen to it and read the lyrics at the same time, it's, like, you can kind of read between the lines and some
of
the stuff.
It was funny. So I was reading their little blurb because they talk about how they started recording it and they came like and came to an abrupt halt in 2020 and was like, I wonder what happened in 2020. And I Googled, I was like, oh, that's right.
Really?
I had forgotten because the way it was worked, you know why? Because they don't say COVID at all.
Yeah. Because they moved to Portland. They were from Florida, and then they all kind of just moved away. I honestly thought they were pretty much broken up, because she was touring with nothing. She was, I think she was their bassist.
Yeah.
They're for touring, and they were touring for a while. Because she's dating Tommy, the drummer, Galjoy. So anyway, let's talk about this album. Stuck in a Dream might be one of my favorite songs on the album.
Yes.
It's pretty much an angry screamo post-punk, like, musically.
Uh-huh.
I think that they have come a long way musically. Like, it's just a lot fuller, a lot of more shit going on. It's just obvious. It's almost like Fugazi meets... It's just like all this...
Yeah, I mean, I re-listened to the first one, which I love. But yeah, you can see where they
really grew. They really, really progressed musically. Like, that, to me, this, like... is a very depressing song. She's like, God, I just want to wake up, and she's just like pleading more or less. But I love this fucking song. Maybe Blue, as I said, musically more complex, pulls you in with like a hook, like this noisy post-punk song. Idealized, that was a single as well. I think I talked about it, but I didn't review it. It's like this softer Wandering Strings. Christina's actually singing, very kind of different song for them. And then it goes right into No Apologies, which, if you make the correlation, I think this is a very Nirvana-influenced song.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Or like Seattle-inspired, full sound musically, but not overproduced. Like, I never felt this was overproduced. Like, the more I listen to that song, I'm like, wow, this is really fucking great. Deep Sage, I like how she's like, I have a tendency to get in over my head lately. It's just very gouge away song, and instrumentally so much more complex, and the guitars, the drum, etc. Her lyrics, they're pretty much like simple, there's nothing like crazy. I think she's kind of been on par, like how she's been writing songs, like not talking shit or whatever, just saying like you get what you get with her. Like, they're usually written pretty well. Overwatering, love these bleak lyrics. I think they have, like, a dude in the background doing, like, background vocals, which they haven't done in a while. Her vocals kind of get more and more desperate and more angry throughout the song. No Release is, like, a fast, noisy, angry, bleak. The Can't Control It, It's in the Blood. Like, she just keeps saying that over again. I'm like, ooh, with all these women in their fucking control.
Yeah.
Guitars drum amazingly tight and fast. The Sharpening... God, I love how angry and self-loathing it is. These are my notes. Musically explodes as her vocals do as well. Spaced Out, love fucking Spaced Out. Yeah, Spaced Out
was great.
I just need to be spaced out. I get it, girl. Had a bunch of girlfriends of hers just shout Spaced Out in the background. Just super get this song on so many levels. Yeah. Love it. Is it Newto? Very different. Seems very personal. Like, I really don't want to know what she's talking about, to be honest. She kind of drags you into her business, though, with this song and includes you in a rage. It's kind of creepy. I like how she's like, but if you try, I will, and it will, like, hurt you first or whatever. Just very, like, I don't know, interesting lyric. And then Dallas is, like, a real long, not real long, it's like a 6-minute song. Kind of reminds me of, like, how Wildflowers was off the first album. To me, it's almost like, is melodic hardcore? Is it about suicide? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
there's something dark and not good
about it. Yeah, yes. No, definitely.
But altogether, like, as you said, this album, I've listened to about 3 or 4 times, and I like it more and more each time I listen to it. Like, at first I was like, okay, cool. And then you have, like, your standout songs, like Spaced Out. I was like, hit me right away. But the more and more I listen to this, like, that and No Apologies, I was like, fucking rad. I dig it, and I can't wait to see them.
Yeah, I've been trying to curtail my vinyl pre-ordering.
Yeah.
And ordering. And I listened to this once, then like, ordered the vinyl.
Yeah.
She must just drink like gallons upon gallons of throat coat when she's not performing.
I know. Okay. And I like that she sings a little more in this.
Yeah.
As I said, they changed up a bit, but in a way you expected them to. I wasn't like, oh, I wasn't expecting this. But I was like, oh, they kind of just progressed in a way I wanted them to. I would say they're keeping like their kind of hardcore roots, but they're expanding on other horizons. Yeah. And it works for them. I think they should be going that direction.
Yeah.
So, Gouge Away Sage.
Yes.
Deep Sage, it's amazing. Check it out. Get on it. Get at her.
Finally,
this is my album of the year thus far.
It might be mine. I don't know.
If I wasn't constantly listening to this, I would have been maybe on like Like, Galjoy is a little shadowed by the mannequin
pussy. It is. I think there's a lot of crossover between the two.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, I couldn't stop listening to this album either, which is one of the reasons why... I mean, another reason why I didn't have any energy this week, so I was like, Dr. Wilson, Dr. Wilson. Anyway, we're talking about, of course, I Got Heaven
Mannequin Pussy,
Philly Zone. Mannequin Pussy came out March 1st.
Their last release was Perfect. Out in 2021, which is an EP. Their last full length with Patience in 2019.
Which I think we...
Yeah, we always reviewed them. And this was off Epitaph. And they started their own label.
So yeah, they started their own label.
I bought it yesterday. They sold out on their site, so you can't order it through them. I found it at Forever Changes Records and bought it. Because I've been looking for it. Because I'm like... I was like, this is the first time I'm like, oh, I'm not going to order this record. And then I was like, fuck, I need to find this. It's fucking great.
Me too.
So, I Got Heaven starts with...
What can we say with... This is probably the WMD of bangers.
Yeah, it's fucking... song is amazing. I texted Lou. There's a specific lyric which is just amazing.
And I got hooked from the beginning where there's like really off-tune dissonant guitar, which sounds almost like if you were typing and someone moved the keyboard to the left and you're typing like your sentence, but it just comes out completely different because you're hitting different keys. That's what it reminds me. It's very off-settling, but good. And this like song's about such... There's a lot of anger, frustration, aggression.
I'm biting at you. Like, I wanted to write a song about growling and barking and biting after
It's almost like the way the verses go, Marissa can't keep up with the lyrics.
Yeah.
She's like almost out of breath singing them. And of course, I have that line.
Yes.
The thing that melted our hearts. And I could look for a Disney Plus series just called What If Jesus Christ Himself Ate My Fucking Snatch.
I was like, did I hear that right?
I did when I first listened to, like, when they released this single. Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
I think I listened to this song more than any other song this year.
You know, another thing it reminds me of, like, not... You know how I said, like, the first time I listened to one of the Fiona Apple, like, records, you feel like you're watching them, and then, like, you feel immediately guilty that, like...
Yeah.
So it almost seems like this song, the teacher's not watching, and she's like, brr, 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 and as soon as the teacher looks, she's like, like behaves when someone's watching.
Yeah. Mannequin Pussy's style is Mannequin Pussy because it's this weird combination of almost dream poppy versus and grindy, like soul destroying hardcore. And medley.
But this song has it all.
It has it all. One stop shop.
Yes.
Loud Bark. It's a shame that Loud Bark comes right after I Got Heaven.
It's a great song.
A great song. So here's my thoughts on it. It gets sucker punched so hard by I Got Heaven, it takes me a second, probably half a verse, to switch gears. And I think it's because she says something, you know, something motherfucker.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. But because it's also such a sweet song in the beginning.
It's like this sweet, but she's fucking potty mouth. And then she's like, I'm a fucking tease. Like, she just like is self-deprecating.
Like I said, it starts almost ballet, like... And that becomes, like, loud and forceful. Like, a lot of their songs have this, like, I call it, like, pseudo-50s feel, which I think is, like, the way the chord progression works and the, point and counterpoint of the guitar, which is also, like, an indie rock thing. But then there's such, like, a subversion of, like, that progression and what they're actually playing.
Mm-hmm.
Part of their signature style, and it's great. And that's, like, sort of, you start to see that in Loud Bark. Interesting also that... And I Got Heaven, she's a dog without a leash.
Yep.
And then there's a lot of... And I notice if you, like, read the lyrics, a lot of these songs, like, almost come in doublets where...
Yeah.
The first two are about that. The second two are sort of about love.
Yeah, like being obsessive.
And specifically saying, I love you. Like, so nothing like... Is a love song. It's about wanting someone, being afraid to show it. And as the music slowly shifts in energy, it gets louder, more distorted. And there's some other business going on, and it becomes more obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
When she's like, I kill myself.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, it just kind of like downward spirals.
Yes.
In like a sweet way.
Which also happens in a lot of these songs.
Yeah.
It sort of epitomizes the Pixies' soft loud, but only half the song is soft, half the song is loud sometimes. I Don't Know You. There are three little things, and of course the three little things are, I love you.
One, two, three.
But also, can I...
The Nothing Like... What song? There's one that has... oh, so nothing like the guitar solo totally makes that song. There's something that just like wraps me around in that. Like, I fucking love that song because of that fucking guitar solo. I don't know why. Okay,
so those things being like, hey, you can't bring yourself to say I love you. There's a very trancy sort of keyboard threading through the whole thing. And then towards the end, the guitars gonna fucking crush you. Again, a lot of Mannequin Pussy. Sometimes, if I were trying to explain what Mannequin Pussy is about, I'd just play the song. Heartfelt lyrics and almost dream pop sensibility up front, and then this really heavy fuzz pulsating in the back. And you feel like you're kind of, like as it grinds, you really feel like you're kind of rocketing towards a cliff at breakneck speed. And then the rhythm guitar just cuts out and you feel like you're just soaring.
Yeah, that's when the fucking shrooms kick in.
Or maybe not really. And actually it's a good point because I say you're soaring to the quasi-psychedelic clouds. There's a lot of weird stuff. It's to make a both a completely applicable and not entirely applicable analogy. So Slater Kinney has a song called Jumpers that's all about...
Furious jumping.
It's not about furious jumping. It's about suicide.
Okay.
And if you read that book, I've talked about many times, Hunger Makes Me a Modern Girl. It's Carrie Brownstein talking about how she was thinking of killing herself when she lived in San Francisco. When she was dating. She didn't say it, but it's probably the woman from Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
Because they were a couple. But there's a video, and this person's climbing to the top of the stairs, and... at the end, she throws herself off the building, but she flies away. You know, she really plummets to her death.
Yeah.
That's like the visual version of what happens here. Anyway.
Maybe they'll put a baby brain in her.
Hey, foreshadowing. No. Okay. Hardcore song. I'm afraid to say anything because the song will beat me up if I do. That's how I feel.
I like how it switches from like... the male-female vocal, where he's just like, if you want to have this pussy, you gotta work for it. And then it switches over to the female vocals.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I believe that's Bear. But I was like, ooh.
Ooh.
It is funny because after this...
it goes into Softly, and it works.
It does, but I was gonna say, in general, the album gets a lot harder.
Yes.
But yeah, it is funny that you have this really loud hardcore song, and then Softly, although it ends up not that softly.
Yes.
I like that it gets really screamy when she's like, what if I don't love you anymore?
Yeah.
Really good. And that's everything. It's like, I mean, really, if you think about it, every song is someone trying to keep their cool but having a nervous breakdown.
Well, it's that and then being like obsessively in love and then it's like, you don't want them anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of Her, another relentless song, like an edge to the heart.
I was in control. Were you? You weren't in control, and I think that, girl. You weren't in control.
See, I think it's about women. Aching.
I fucking love that song.
I do too. It's a song
I want to feel it from the top.
I said this song is probably about getting fucked into having a heart attack by somebody. Yeah, it's a Dirty Bird song.
Yeah.
It's about being horny and just needing to fuck.
Yeah. Furious jumping.
And then to do some furious jumping. And then I actually laugh. We Split Me Open is the last song, which again, kind of very sweet. In the beginning, I said another fuck song.
It's very sweet, but it's just depressing, and it's like nothing's gonna change. It's like,
well,
it's like this circular pattern that Mannequin Pussy does all the time.
But it shifts gears because then towards the end of the song, it's either about needing to break from someone who you have feelings for, or possibly about consent. But I think it's about loving someone, then kind of being sick of them. But I don't know.
And like nothing's ever changed. Like you can't. They can't get out of that cycle. Amazing.
Amazing. Amazeballs. Love this album.
Hardcore power pop mixed so well.
Yeah.
Favorite album so far.
Yeah.
I dig it. Right.
And really quickly, again, along the lines of I have too many albums. Mm-hmm. I need to take a little break. A couple of Mondays ago was a very bad day because three friends at the show all had pre-orders go up within 15 minutes of each other. That would be Lalouz, which has News of the Universe coming out May 24th, which has basically a very Northern California feel to it. I'm excited about that one. Nicolas Cave and the Wild Seeds. Wow, I can't really talk. I'm fucking having nerves. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Wild God, 18...
I was like, is it a new band, the Wild Seeds?
Yeah, the Wild Seeds.
They got rid of the Bad Seeds.
It's like their 18th album.
Okay.
August 30th. Very Nick Cave. That's all I could say. Nick Cave and I listened to the single, and I won't listen to any more of that album until the album comes out.
Yeah.
And then Habibi.
Mm-hmm. I listened to the single you sent
me. So I sent you the single. So Habibi has a Dream Machine coming out May 31st. Drive On, I think, is the single.
I can't remember what
it's called. Fucking, it has this very catchy hook. It's very trippy. Mm-hmm. It's like a setless, trancey. The lyrics are either super deep or completely nonsensical, which is like, you know, I'm gonna drive again, gonna drive again, straight north to the great star of Bethlehem. Then there's something about, then towards the end, she just starts talking about her family, how she'll kill you if you do it wrong. Really hooky.
I thought so.
A lot of hip-hop inspired stuff.
It's like garagey psych to me and like mixed in with everything, how they usually are.
Then, so I ended up pre-ordering all those albums.
Yeah.
Then, worth mentioning also, St. Vincent has an album coming out on April 26th.
Ooh, the day of our savior.
Yeah. What, the day of our savior, Adolf Hitler?
No, April 26th is my birthday.
I know, and Adolf Hitler's birthday.
No, it isn't. He's 420. Get your history right, bitch.
You listen to Mannequin Pussy. The album's All Born Screaming. I think the single is Broken Man.
They don't have the same birthday as Hitler.
That's not what we're talking about.
Why would you think that?
Because he is your favorite president of Germany. Anyway, the single has a very Nine Inch Nails feel to it.
Okay, cool.
Like something off the Fragile.
Do you see they did like the 30th anniversary of Downward Spiral?
Yeah. Called The Upward Scream.
The Upward
It's really happy.
It's like, it's why I want to hug the furry animals.
It's about an alcoholic guy who then writes a really good song. Because, you know, Downward Spiral, it's all about me being an alcoholic and break up with Tori Amos. And I didn't realize the guy who did Filter, like the guy who's in Filter, was in Nine Inch Nails, and then he left during that after that album.
Okay, I knew he was in Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. That sums that up.
Dissexual had...
Oh, yeah, Dissexual. Oh, yes.
They had a 3-song EP come out. If you like electro goth,
if you like music, vampires,
it was really good. Out of the 3 songs, I think I liked the last song the best. Mm-hmm. It was a little she's singing more, but it was really good. If you like industrial, like gothy,
it's really stuff. Just it's to kind of follow it along. And
Dissexual, not to be confused with bisexual. It's dissexual.
Yes. Or mean, is it?
It's a dice.
I thought it was like the sexual, like a certain person's hero, the president of Germany, who has the same birthday. So, no.
So before we go,
I saw a couple movies. Well, I saw. There's one movie we're going to talk about. I did see Dune 2. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. They take a very interest. So it's in the book, but the angle they take.
How did Timothy look? Did he look extra cute? I have a crush on Timothy.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy in my hotel that kind of looked like a tall Timothy. Shyamalan. And he was all like, I was going down to get my coffee. I left Victor in the room and he was like, did you just wake up? And I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I've been up for like half hour. And then I saw him again and I was like, here's my number. Mm-hmm. No, he was cute though.
Well, Austin Butler's in it.
I heard.
Completely shaved because he's Fade Rautha and he lives on the German expressionist planet of Gildy Prime. That's not the movie we're going to talk to. You didn't see the movie. It's not worth talking
about. I know.
Zendaya's in it.
I know. I like Timothy
Chalamet. The cameo, the surprise cameo is Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, okay.
Who people didn't know was in the movie till she showed up at the premiere.
Oh, really?
And even then people were like, what's she doing here?
Hey. Isn't she supposed to be
Furiosa?
Yeah, Furiosa from M.M.
That's coming
to... All right, let's get to the
meat. So a movie that...
Poor Things.
Yes.
Amazing.
By
Emma Stone just...
What's his name? Yorgos Lapinos. Yes.
So Emma Stone just won the Oscar for Bella Baxter.
Which, did you watch her acceptance speech?
No, I watched the fake one.
Where it's like the line reading one? Yeah.
When she's like burping and farting. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
No, the real one, she didn't think she obviously didn't think she was going to win.
She should won. I'm glad she won.
I did, too. There's something happened to her dress, like it ripped in the back.
And she tells
the person, she's like, can you fix my dress? Falling apart. She does make a couple jokes about it. She's like, and you can see how together I am and stuff like that.
I like Emma Stone a lot.
But she does, she's really good.
But, so she's Bella Baxter. She
So, back up.
Okay.
So, Poor Things is asked the question, if you put a baby in an adult's body, would it just want to fuck all day?
And the answer is yes.
Yes, apparently so.
I saw it in the theater, so yeah. I truly felt uncomfortable that I was watching porn. I've never seen that so much fucking.
Yeah.
In a movie where it was like totally acceptable with a, like, I felt like I was watching porn with a group of people.
Yeah, it's like
you see everything of Emma Stone.
And some others do.
Yeah. But anyway, the whole furious jumping is what she calls sex.
Yeah, so...
she finally, gets to the part... Like, so, she has a baby brain.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, she...
Not like they say when a woman's pregnant, you have baby brain. She has literally...
They take... So, she's pregnant. You find this out later in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They take the fetus's brain out.
You find that out at the beginning of the movie. Because literally, he talks about opening up... He gets the body... Willem Dafoe's in it. He's basically like Frankenstein. It's sort of like Frankenstein.
It's Frankenstein, yeah.
Willem Dafoe, who's Godwin, or God.
Yeah.
He gets the body. He performs a C-section. And I took the brain and I put it in her head.
I couldn't... Yeah. It's been a while.
I just watched it literally. Yeah.
So she has her own baby's brain in like a probably 30-year-old body. Late 20-year-old body. So this... young wannabe surgeon is set up to like watch her and stuff, and they kind of like he kind of falls for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you're progressing, this baby turns into a toddler and like pissing her pants and being an asshole.
There's a scene.
oh my god! So do you know what scene I'm talking about?
No, I know where she pisses herself. There's a scene where she stands up. And she stands up like a toddler and walks like a toddler. I was like, wow, that's actually really good. So
one of my favorite scenes in the movie that is ridiculously kind of disturbing, but I was just blown away how awesome it was, was she's in like the cadaver room and she's playing with the guy's penis.
I'll say, yeah, I knew. I actually
almost broke it. And she's like, bloop, 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 and she's playing with this dead dude's penis and then takes a fucking...
Like a scissors,
a knife or whatever, and just starts stabbing him. And she goes, stabby, 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 and starts stabbing him in the eyes. And it's so fucked up.
It is a really fucked up. It's really.
And then Mark Ruffalo.
So, yeah, he's really good.
Steps in the picture.
Willem Dafoe is Godwin, and he brings this woman to life by transplanting her own baby's brain into her. And they're like trying to raise her, but she starts to get a little independent.
Yes.
But then, of course, she discovers.
You know. Pleasure.
Pleasure. And masturbation. She's like really excited. She's like. Oh, she shoves an apple up her hoo-ha, and then she's like, she's masturbating at the table, and then she tries to get to teach the maid, and she's like, hands off my hairy business.
Well, the maid's all in a bad mood, and she's like, oh, did you try furious jumping?
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo shows up, and he's a lawyer.
Yeah, and he's a piece of shit scumbag lawyer. And the whole time, you're like, she's going to get taken advantage of, she's going to get raped, all the stuff. And Bella Baxter is just Bella Baxter and, like, is almost like a Scarlett O'Hara in a weird way. Like, no, like, she adapts, she gets through, and, like, she just does what she wants to fucking do is what it comes down to.
Yeah, quite literally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's DTF. And it's also funny because Mark Ruffalo doesn't really take advantage of it. He does when he kidnaps her. But I mean, in the fact
that she wanted to go, then it wasn't like
When she puts him in a box. And,
yeah, that's true.
But the impression is that he's going to take advantage of it. He even says so. I was just going to use you a bit, and I was going to dump you, but now I'm in love.
Yes. Didn't she like befriends people and like kind of like learns from them?
And so that's the thing. She's like learning and
the atrocities of humanity and all this stuff.
Which the guy when he's like. Oh, I showed you. I didn't show you that. I showed that because I wanted to make you sad.
Yeah. But she more or less, like, just fucking...
She starts to learn and, although, continues her furious jumping. Basically experiences the world and eventually they end up in Paris where she becomes a prostitute.
Yeah. But under her own will, she's just like, I like doing this.
She's like, I need money. Yeah. And then...
With
an old woman who wants to bite her earlobes. And, like, a whole bunch of creepy... Like, the guy wants to sniff her hair. So...
I like when she's fucking the dude in front of the
kids. And they're just...
taking notes.
Yeah. So, yeah, she...
But she's not, like, getting... It's what she wanted to do. Like,
I'm not arguing. So, she's... And she even has the conversation with a madam. You know, this is how you learn about everything. And I do like when she's like, wouldn't it be better if we chose the guys? So, yeah, she's her own eight... Like, the agent of her own change for the... And she's never... out of control.
No.
She goes back home because God is
dying.
And it's kind of sweet that she it's kind of sweet that he doesn't try to fuck her.
Yeah.
The sort of the subplot.
Although they do make another.
Another one?
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Well, he's a eunuch, but he's like, no, I don't want to fuck you, all that stuff. Yeah. It never occurred to me. She reconciles with him because she comes back and she basically finds out the truth.
Yes. And that she had a baby because she keeps on being like, I didn't have a baby. And they're like,
yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
She'd like.
And then she's going to get married to the doctor.
The surgeon that originally was like studying her that like was just like, because she's like, I was whoring. And he was like, I don't care. Just get tested. Yeah.
And then in the last 30 minutes of the movie, the husband of the original, I guess, Victoria.
Yes.
Shows up.
And he's like such a piece of shit, like abusive asshole.
He's like a sadist. The tonal, it's so weird. The movie's suddenly about this other thing for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he tries to give her a clitectomy and she shoots him in the foot and then
transplants a goat,
makes him a goat man. And they all live happily ever after.
Yeah, and that's literally how it ends.
I was trying to explain, because I watched it and someone I was talking to was like, you know, so there's like a lot of sex in there, right? I was like,
Yeah,
but it's not like sexual at all. There's like nothing titillating or it's sexual in the way like if you were watching primates fucking almost. I mean, it's hard to describe because Poor Things, which obviously had
I thought it was very female, like it was very female empowerment.
Yeah.
Like the whole time you're thinking she's going to get like something's going to happen to her. They're going to break Bella Baxter and Bella Baxter ends up on top.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes.
And I like the last scene. Her husband has like a goat brain, and she's like hanging out with one of the whores from that like she befriended in Paris.
That they're plus, like, yeah,
that might be like her truly best friend or whatever.
And she's studying to be a doctor.
Yeah.
One issue I have with the movie, and this is more the science nerd to me, chloroform isn't magical sleepy juice. So towards the end, he first tries to trick her and then is actively like, this martini, here's a chloroform martini, drink it and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you would, at the very least you would just like vomit uncontrollably. You wouldn't get like, ooh, you might pass out from all the vomiting you would do. Well, I think chloroform's inert. You can, you can drink gasoline.
I thought he was going to shoot her and that was going to be in the movie, to be honest. Because I thought it was going to end weird. I have, a quick thing about Star Wars. Why? Like, why is there no good music in Star Wars? Yeah. There are all these dumb fucking alien bands that suck. Like, there's no phones. And Mark made this thought that I never thought of. He's like, why does everyone have short-term memories? They're like, what are Jedi? He's like, it was like fucking 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, to answer, it's like, do you like music from... Do you like to listen to harpsichord music?
I don't know, not really.
So, Star Wars is... First off...
I would kill myself if I had...
It's in a galaxy far, far away, but it's also a long, long time ago. And it's old-time music, so that's why... If you were born in Star Wars times, you'd be fucking balls deep in that shit.
Maybe.
So that...
But they're all like, Jedi?
It's weird, because it hasn't been... That long.
Yeah. Mark was like, that's one of my big... We were watching the new ones or whatever. The sequels.
Yeah.
And Mark's like... And I kind of have to tend to agree with him. He said the prequels look kind of better and better as time move on. Not... Like, the story-wise.
Yeah.
Where the new ones kind of... There was no... Like, J.J. Abrams was like, hey, let's do this. And then this changes to this. Uh-huh. Like there was like a lot of open ends where the prequels kind of... weren't a bad story, just the acting kind of sucked.
Yeah. I think, give or take, like, whatever you think of the sequels. I mean, the first one, like, even now they've kind of admitted, we just told them to remake Star Wars.
Yeah.
And because it's literally a remake of Star Wars plot-wise. And the second one, Ryan Johnson brought in, and I think he was supposed to do 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to wipe everything out, and then, I can do my own third movie. And I do like a lot of The Last Jedi... I think the whole weird space gas subplot doesn't necessarily fit.
Yeah, there's a lot of, things that never go anywhere.
But then, J.J. Abrams comes back for the third, and it's like, well, how do I reset everything?
Yeah.
Third one, like, last movie, I think is objective, is like, bad. I do not like it.
Well, Mark's, and I agree with him, he's like, there's a lot of really cool scenes,
mm-hmm.
and that's really about it. Like, yeah. cool scenes linked together. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
The best part, I've said this many times, the best part of that last movie is the line, "Oh, Babu Frick, my oldest friend." And I was like, Babu Frick. He's like, Babu Frick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
We're going on pretty long, so.
Yeah, we'll see when I take the hatchet job where we end up.
Yeah, so we did a lot of music, and hopefully we will be back soon.
Yes.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Yes, and April Fool's. Bye.
Bye.
The punk rolled up his big blue eyes and said to the jocker, "Sandy, I've hiked and hiked and wandered too, but I ain't seen no candy. I've hitched and hitched till my feet are sore. I'll be goddamned if I hitch anymore, to be buggered sore like a hobo sore on the big rock candy mountain."